time for a podcast already?
Check 1, 2, check 1, 2, check 1, 2, check 1, 2.
You shit that notebook to the wild.
I didn't know that.
Of the Garlic Jar Podcast Show. I'm with my friends tonight, Matt and Zach, as usual. Guys, say hello.
Hello.
Hello, guys.
What's going on for the week, guys? Anything new?
Well, I mean, looking at it, we have a couple things going on. I mean, I'll be honest with you. It's been a busy work week. Zach, how about you? I mean, has anything been going on with you, or?
No, I mean.
I know you were kind of jammed up, too. You were busy. You were doing some recording. You had work going on.
Yeah, just work. Doing stuff for the YouTubes. Personal stuff.
Yeah.
I don't feel like getting into right now.
No. Okay.
Life goes on.
Life does go on. Not really a whole lot. I mean, just trying to take the weekend here, Jen. We're trying to, undo everything, relax, and obviously look forward to a good weekend.
Nice.
Yeah.
How about you?
How about you?
Oh, I'm perpetually busy. I work and do school every day, so I'll be busy until the end of time.
Yeah. I give you credit. I mean, no, I do. I give you credit. And hey, you got a birthday coming up.
I do. It's on Sunday.
Yeah, you got a birthday coming up. So can we say, like, can we actually celebrate and can we say happy birthday early to you?
Yeah,
being that we're recording?
Yeah. Don't
okay.
sing it. Like, that's
okay, weird. Hang on. I'm gonna get my guitar. I'm gonna get the guitar out, okay?
Oh God. He's really
right.
Gonna do this.
And
isn't
we're gonna
he?
Work in the C chord here. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Oh my God.
He's gonna wake his dogs up and he's gonna get yelled at.
Probably.
Okay, I think I just heard Lauren say, no music. Sorry. No, but seriously, all jokes aside, because there is no joke to it. But Jenna, happy birthday. I mean, this is awesome.
Thank you.
You know?
Thanks.
And yeah. Another thing, too, is I don't think we really got to celebrate a little bit of Zach's birthday there, too, in the podcast. Because
yeah,
I think we were on hiatus, weren't we?
We were, mm-hmm. Yes.
So could we're going to celebrate a belated birthday for him too tonight.
Sure.
So yeah, birthday. But yep. Other than that though, I mean, during the week, not a whole lot going on. I mean, it hasn't been really, I mean, it's kind of boring where we talk like, okay, it's work related, but really, I mean, I think all of us got hit with the whammy here where it's like, man, just Jen, you at school, you at work. I don't know how you do it. I really don't.
I just don't sleep. That's all. I get like, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 hours of sleep a night.
But one thing I gotta acknowledge though, I have to say this, like having the conversation with you, you are like, to this day, like for how long I knew you, you take time management so seriously.
I do.
Like you are literally the perfect person to preach it, you know. And I give you credit because I mean I wish I had that initiative. Like I always think like, okay, I do have good time management on things that I do, but it could be better, you know? But yeah, your time management is so ridiculous. I give you so much kudos, you know?
So like, especially like, you know, like working 2+ jobs and going to school full time, like there's just no other way to do it.
I'd never be able to do that.
Your school, your study time, your homework time, like, and you just have to stick to it as much as you do or do not want to, but that's just the way that it's gotta be.
I kind of got a Yoda vibe out of that just now, like do or do not, you know? Like,
yeah.
There is no try.
There is no try. Yep. Yeah,
that's how I feel about Yoda. So
yeah. Okay, so we won't bring that up, right? Yoda's a little bit of a salty subject there for Zachary.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
so we got some good salty topics tonight, I guess.
We do. But what is everybody drinking here tonight?
I just have water.
So okay, that's good. Plain H2O.
Safe, you know.
Okay, I'm definitely taking on the Jim Beam, the honey, Jim Beam honey. That was a recommendation actually last week. If you remember in the podcast, me and Zach were talking about, between the Jim Beam Fire and the Jim Beam honey. He definitely sold me on the honey. I really think it's a lot better than the American honey. So I kind of feel like I've been paying for like overpaying for a really good, like a whiskey and stuff like that. This is really nice. It's really enjoyable, very relaxing, nice sipper. And of course, I'm just having a nice little domestic here, Mick Ultra.
Gross.
Well, on the other hand, have had American honey whiskey, Jim Beam honey, and two glasses of Jack and Pepsi. So you can tell how my night's going.
That is, that sounds good.
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
That sounds pretty good, man. Well, I mean, other than that, though, I mean, some things that were going on during the week. I mean, set aside from our topics tonight, I mean, I thought it was pretty interesting early on in the week. I don't know if any of you guys caught this, but there was a news breaking, a news briefing. I think it was on Monday or Tuesday, and I love like the old colonial. I love like the historic stuff. So I saw something where the oldest Maryland settlement was actually discovered, and I thought that was cool. I just want to give kudos to that. You could check it out if you just type in the oldest Maryland settlement discovered in Google. It actually dates back to like early 1600s settlement in Maryland. So I thought that was pretty cool. I mean, it was a long research project being conducted by a university professor. And, you know, of course, that interests me, too, that, you know, somebody that's been working so much on research, I know a thing or two about that, because being a dissertation, PhD, working on research, mm-hmm. it's a lengthy process. I mean, obviously, my research has nothing or nowhere compared to what this guy did, but for how many years this guy has been trying to make groundbreaking research, doing geographical sightings and using all these technologies to actually find like foundations built into the earth. Yeah, they actually did. They found it. So it was pretty cool. I think it was either St. Mary's or St. James. Again, you can look it up. It's pretty cool. Anything else? I mean, besides anything from our topics tonight, which Jenna is going to be listing for you?
Yeah, so like I had to make time this week to watch the Snyder Cut.
Nice. And
we're going to talk in depth about it later, but if you haven't seen the Snyder Cut and you're listening to this, you are going to have lots of spoilers. So decide now if you really want to listen to this episode before watching the Snyder Cut, because damn, that's all I'm going to say.
Man. Yeah, I'm agreeing with Jenna there.
Yeah, I will definitely agree with that. So we're definitely putting the spoiler alert early.
Yep.
And then Falcon and Winter Soldier came out, which I saw both episodes, but you guys only saw one.
I've only had time to see the one.
I only saw the first one. I do plan on seeing the next one on the weekend, like Saturday or Sunday, because just with my schedule, you know.
Same here.
And then probably in some like upcoming topics, Mighty Ducks was also released today.
Okay, so that's the first episode of that series being launched?
I think, I don't know if it's just the first episode or if it's the whole season. I'm not sure, because I didn't look at it. I just, like, you know, got a notification on my phone from Disney that it was out, and I was like, oh, yeah, I gotta watch that at some point.
You know, it's kind of funny. Me and you were talking about that earlier in the week, because remember how we were, like, kind of going back to, like, oh, some of our favorite cast members from like back in the past movies.
Yeah, they're going to be coming back. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty cool. And I remember how we were talking about like the knuckle puck, the cowboy. Yep.
I don't remember his name.
I can't remember his name either, but he was pretty cool. He was one of my favorites, you know?
Yeah.
That's one set of movies I'd actually like to probably go back and rewatch before watching this series. Not going to lie.
I watched them a lot, actually.
But yeah, man, the Mighty
Zach
Ducks.
Zach hasn't seen them, which is surprising because he's a hockey fan.
Remember yeah, they I had haven't a... seen them. Oh, you never saw them?
No.
Oh, they're pretty cool, Zach.
I plan on watching them. They're on my long list of things that I have to watch.
Well, that's pretty good. Yeah, definitely.
I have the time.
It's well worth it.
So a shout out to my hockey friends, because we haven't come back to, you know, do our time on ice for the baby pens yet this year, but my friend Phil, I would piss him off all the time because whenever like at least like three players would get together like and skate, you know, towards like down the ice towards like the goal or something, I'd be like, the flying V, they're starting the flying V, and Phil would get so pissed every time.
What a formation, right?
Mm-hmm. The flying V. So shout out to my hockey friends, and I miss and love you all.
Do you think it's gonna recap though? I mean, do you think you're gonna go back into hockey? Like,
well, here's the thing. I think we were deemed as non-essential, so
okay,
no. Because like they already started accepting fans back into like, mm-hmm,
yeah, they did
the arena. So I just don't
tickets are mad expensive though.
Really?
Yeah.
especially for NHL.
Yeah, they're the AHL. They're offering it to like the season ticket holders first, and then anything, mm-hmm, that's not sold will go on sale.
Yeah, wow. just a single seat for a Flyers home game right now is $850.
Well, that's a lot. That makes me wonder though, because I mean, if you're just talking about like the baby pens here around our area, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, what is that going to do for, like, our AAA club here with the Scranton Wilkes-Barre Rail Riders, you know?
I don't know. I don't even know if they're accepting fans yet. Like, yeah, they haven't discussed anything.
Yeah, because I never got any... Well, I mean, I've gotten notification about renewing season tickets, but there's nothing solidifying about making the payments or, again, you know, like, they usually call you, they usually give you the follow-up.
Well, they're definitely having a season.
Yeah.
I know that much.
But I wonder, like you said, are they only going to cut it to, like, limited fans? Like, the real, like, because there's difference in the holdings there, where you have, like, season ticket holders. There's actually the full season, and then there's the half season. So I wonder if they're just going to offer it to the full season, you know?
I don't know, because they haven't mentioned what they're doing yet, but, like, mm-hmm, one of the perks about baseball is that it's outside. So.
Right.
They might be able to fit more fans. Yep. I'm not, you know, 100% sure yet because, like, our sellout is, what, 10,000 at the stadium?
Yeah. Yep, 10,000.
So, you can definitely fit a lot of people.
I guess time will tell, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, I know that they're having a season, but I think AAA is delayed by, like, 3 or 4 weeks, I think I saw. Was the last time I saw.
Yep, that I remember. Yep. Mm-hmm. That I do remember. Well, like I said, I mean, I hope things are going to get better and progress. And, hey, I'm sure everybody else out there agrees with us, you know. We just want everything to progress and keep getting better. And, of course, up to the safety measures where we could all get back out there to the normalcy of everything.
Get your vaccines, kids.
Yes. Yep. Yep. Definitely. I stand by that. Make sure you get your vaccine. Well, I mean, Jen, can you take us through a breakdown of what we're talking about tonight?
Yeah, like we're going to do Falcon Winter Soldier, the Snyder Cut, and then I guess you guys want to talk about brackets or something?
Yeah, we're just going to give a quick...
basketball, so...
Yeah, we'll give a quick breakdown. We definitely will, but can we start this podcast with a little bit of mealtime? Can we start with breakfast?
I just want to say before we start this with the bracket talk, Matt's talk is going to be very, very quick.
You better believe it.
That's all I'm saying. Go ahead and continue.
Yeah, mine's going to be two words, and you're probably already thinking. I'm already going to admit that there's already going to be a donation made. let's start with breakfast, because did you guys hear about this? Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Did anybody see this during the week?
Yeah, I actually saw that live on Twitter.
Oh, my Lord. And I actually saw the live interview with the person that actually discovered this. And real quick, I mean, Jen, do you just want to give like a quick briefing about like what happened here with the Cinnamon Toast Crunch?
So I don't know the guy's name, but he's married to Danielle Fischel.
I think it's Jensen Kearney.
Okay. Topanga. It's Topanga's husband.
Yep.
And he found shrimp tails in his Cinnamon Toast Crunch. And, like, what the whole thing was, is, like, I think he would have just let it go.
Descended from on high and gave her a bunch of really cool characters.
Oh, you bastard.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Matt's watching a TikTok video that I sent him. Where was I going with this? I don't even remember. So he found the shrimp tails, but like what the whole thing was is that he reached out to Cinnamon Toast Crunch on Twitter, and the whole thing was that they told him that it was just like clumps of cinnamon and sugar when like clearly it's not. So like it blew up into this like whole thing because some like intern is probably like ahead of, you know, like in charge of their social media and was like, let me just try and get in front of this. And it was like, you know, blown to hell after that.
Yep.
So.
By the way, I'm sorry.
They're way above your pay grade, but.
I just want to correct something here. It's actually, I was right on Jensen. It's Jensen Karp, not Kearney. Jensen Karp. So he was the one, that's who you were talking about. It's Danielle Fishel's, Fishel, right? Yeah, Danielle Fishel's so. Husband. Topanga. And that's, yep, Topanga from Boy Meets World. Mm-hmm. And of course, Girl Meets World, the reboot there that they had on Disney. I didn't watch that. No, I caught a few episodes just to see what it was like. I mean, it was a nice series of episodes for like, obviously the modern day scene and everything like that. And I thought it was good. I mean, but you know, when you go back to a series like that with Boy Meets World, it's really hard to captivate on that because for that time and for the events that were going on, you know, that group of, and that generation, I mean, we lived it. I mean, we lived the moments that Corey and Topanga did, you know? And that's kind of how I feel about it. But even right now, I mean, that was the nice twist to this Girl Meets World is that the new modern age and, you know, of course, you know, a younger generation, that's how they portrayed it. And I thought it was really well suited for, you know, the Disney audience. But yeah, I do agree. I mean, yeah, it's that's kind of weird. I mean, I looked at the photos and I was telling you guys, I saw an interview with Jensen Karp this week. He was on CNN with Brooke Baldwin. And basically what happened was there, he was explaining what actually did happen. And I never knew that this guy had an OCD disorder. He has really bad OCD, actually. And this petrified him. Like, actually, because what happened was he actually had a bowl of the cereal before discovering what actually came out of the bag. You know? And that's why he was kind of in an uproar about it. And that's why he made a big stink that, listen, this is no joke. Like, this is what I found in the bag. And people of course, that yeah, and right. I mean, think about that. I mean, shellfish an allergy or something like that could be contracted through that with the processing mm-hmm. of everything like that. Who knows? But I mean, for somebody like that, I mean, to discover it, I mean, holy moly! I mean, you're thinking, oh my God, did somebody tamper with this? Did they eat shrimp? Did they throw it in a bag? You know, I mean, that's bacterial. You know, maybe somebody could get sick off that. But, yeah, I mean, it's kind of crazy because I can't match up where they're talking where, you know, the breakfast cereal, the company, CTC, well, I don't know if that's them purposely.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch, yes.
Well, right, Cinnamon Toast Crunch. But I think they're under, are they under General Mills? I thought yes. they were under, yeah, so they're under General Mills. But CTC that facilitates and they have their facility that make the cereal, they claim that there was nothing occurred during the facility process of this. And that's where they're starting to think that's an investigative matter to see, okay, you know, after, you know, maybe putting these bags together, putting them in boxes, was it tampered with after being facilitated in the facility, you know? So, but yeah, that was the wrong decision in my part. I mean, for them to come out and say, yeah, these are cinnamon and sugar clusters. No, you could very well tell that those are the skin and the tail end of a shrimp. I mean, you cannot fight that. I'm sorry. I've looked at the images and I will definitely 100%. I would guarantee a paycheck and I would say that that is a shrimp tail without question. What about you guys? I mean, did you see this? Do you have anything to add on it?
Yeah, it's just like, I don't know. Like, it's weird how, like, shit just, like, blows up online because, like, honestly, like, I could care less.
Yeah, true.
You found shit. I mean, I don't care.
But this is the beauty of social media trending, you know? Well, I mean, again, it's kind of funny, but just to give you guys a little insight, I told Jenna and I told Zach, I was going to go to the grocery store here in our local area, went to Quinn's, purchased a box of Cinnamon Toast Crunch, and I did do this before the podcast. took the bag out of the box, inspected it, made sure that there was no rips, no resealments. I couldn't tell if it was taped over or resealed. And I did. I kind of shuffled it up a little bit to see if I could see anything in the bag. And no shrimp tails. You know, I went and I bought cocktail sauce. I did a little picture on my Facebook. And some people were getting a kick out of it, where it's like, I put the box of cereal up in the cocktail sauce bottle with the bowl and the spoon. And there was a couple of people chiming in with it this week, so it was kind of cool. But yeah, I mean, yeah, you got to watch out with that. Maybe with Cinnamon Toast Crunch, maybe you better get a bottle of cocktail sauce to go with it, you know? You just never know if you'll find some shrimp in there. But yeah, moving on to the next, we have an update on NCAA, our bracket. We talked about this last week, Zach. I kind of want to get you to start with this because you've been kind of vocal with it. You've been talking about your updates. You're probably one of the few with a very perfect bracket outside of the garlic jar bracket, right?
Yep, I still have a perfect bracket. I am one of 16 people in the world to have a perfect bracket right now.
That's amazing. Now, that's his bracket outside of the garlic jar bracket, correct?
Yeah, it's not my garlic jar. Yeah, no, my garlic jar one's gone.
Oh, yeah, well, and that's pretty much where I'm just going to piggyback. So the update here is that Zach is still in good standings. Mine fucking sucks. So, and that is a donation, by the way.
Yeah, we're at like 5 right now, so it's fine.
Yeah. So, but I can only hope that, like, towards the end where these brackets kind of come down towards the main winners. Like, right now, I'm hoping, for example, for Midwest, Houston's got to make the push. I mean, Oral Roberts screwed me out of a bunch of different stuff.
Syracuse is going to beat Houston, I'm telling you right now.
And that's a really good speculation. I could actually see that because Syracuse is a very good basketball program. We already saw that Houston is beatable because they struggled with Rutgers, you know?
Yeah, if you struggle with Rutgers, then there's something wrong with your team. I'm sorry, yep. But Rutgers is absolute trash.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting. There's some pretty good matchups tomorrow if you guys are interested and you're following. So this is for the Saturday games.
But remember,
you know,
this is going to air past Saturday, so this was already happened.
Yeah. Right. So right, exactly. So I mean, you got the Villanova, the Baylor game coming up this weekend.
Definitely highly recommend watching that.
Yep. And that
or
I think
the highlights.
That actually is the most rated game on CBS Sports right now. That's like right now, if you look at it, like the game of the week that CBS is promoting, it's Baylor and Villanova.
It deserves it.
Of course, number 5 against number 1, you know? But the other ones are just Oregon State, Loyola, Oral Roberts in Arkansas, and then like we were just talking with Syracuse and Houston. So
that's where I draw the line. I don't think Villanova should have been rated number 5.
Yeah, that's a reasonable response there. I could see that. I could agree with that in a way. Definitely. But yeah, moving on, I'm going to have Jen take us right into our next topic, which is Disney Plus's Falcon and Winter Soldier.
So currently there are 2 episodes out, which you guys didn't see episode 2 yet, so if I accidentally start rambling about,
that's okay,
something that you didn't see, because mine played like back to back, so like I didn't even realize that like 1 stopped and 2 started, so stop me I guess if I mention something that you haven't seen yet.
I'll just say stop, or I'll use my special soundboard to make a beep.
Can we hear it?
Like, I'm pretty sure I remember. Like, because what was the last thing that you saw? The announcement, right?
Yes.
The announcement, yes.
The announcement, right. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So that kind of puts things into perspective for me. So what I really like about the Winter Soldier and Falcon series, right off the bat, is, like, you kind of see how, like, normal people are trying to, like, put back together their lives after the snap and the comeback, mm-hmm. I guess.
Yeah.
So, like, this obviously picks up after Endgame. And I think it's even... Is it after WandaVision?
It's 5 years.
Probably,
it's,
right?
It's 5 years after Endgame.
Yep.
So, I don't
oh,
know.
Oh, it's that
WandaVision.
Far ahead.
Yeah, it's 5 years after Endgame. They said it in episode 1.
Okay.
He was right.
I don't remember, like, the... Like, absolute dialogue, but I remember them specifically saying it was 5 years after everybody came back.
Yeah, I think it was Flash. Like, you know how sometimes they have, like, time stamps at the bottom of, like, an episode, and they say, like, 5 years later? I think that's what it was.
No, yeah. it was specific dialogue, Matt. Like, oh, okay. one of the characters actually said that it was 5 years after.
Mm. Well, there's something that happens in episode two that I obviously can't talk about, so I'm not sure if that's right or not.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, let's just kind of backtrack on that first episode. I mean, let's kind of point out the significances here, you know?
Yeah, so, like, you see Falcon, and he's still, like, you know, government contracted, so he's still doing his Falcon thing.
Mm-hmm.
He's, you know, helping out the military in, like, yep, the first, like, couple minutes of the show. And then, like, it eventually cuts to, like, Bucky, and you see that he's in therapy.
Yep.
Which is, like, a condition of his pardon and release into society, being, like, a civilian.
Right.
So, I think he's trying to, like, work through all of the trauma that he has gone through in his life, which is, like, you know, it's kind of, his stuff is kind of heavy.
Yep.
And real quick, do you mind if I kind of, like, chime in with something?
Sure.
You know, I kind of got the vibe, you know, when they brought Bucky into that, like, I had a very big respect for that. Because I think where they make a comparison to Bucky going through such tragic events and, you know, situations, you know, because I think it actually dates before Endgame. Like, I would actually say that his therapy is way before Endgame. You know, this is somebody that's been broken. It's been somebody that's been great. Right
now. Yeah. So he's trying to work through all of the bad shit that he's done in his life.
Right, and I think it's like a current veteran going through therapeutic sessions to kind of relieve stress and relieve problems of PTSD, you know?
Yeah.
But and I like that.
He sits there and lies his face off, though, the whole time.
He does. He does. But I like that fact that, like, I mean, just kind of in the, like, the realistic picture where we take, you know, a superhero, Bucky, the Winter Soldier, you know, they're treating him in this situation like they would treat, like, any other soldier, a veteran that's hurt and veteran that needs help, you know? And that's critical on my point. I mean, you really do. I mean, this is helpful service. And, of course, I mean, I'm not stressing, you know, that Bucky was, you know, right in any of his actions. Because, honestly, watching back to the movies, I mean, this was a guy that was literally overpowered by an evil presence. And, you know, I mean, it just kind of, it just hits. It kind of relates to me. Like, when I think about that and I saw that scene in that first episode, I'm like, man, I'm like, you know, this kind of goes back to, like, just modern day, like, therapeutics for, you know, our veterans that are having issues that need to relieve this stress, that need to talk to somebody, you know?
Yep. I'm also super pissed with Sam, too.
Okay, why?
Well, because it's, like, the first episode, okay? So this is the first episode of Falcon and the Winter Soldier, and what does he do? He turns over Cap's shield to the Smithsonian Museum.
Okay.
Yeah, I was pretty annoyed with that too.
So, like, number one, this is Captain America's shield. Yes. Steve essentially passed on the mantle to you because he thinks you can do it. And you just, like, willy-nilly decide to give the shield away.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I understand that, like, you know, he probably thought that people would want to see it in the museum, like, exhibit that they have or whatever. But, mm-hmm, like, there's a, I don't know the guy's name, but, like, just by, like, some of the comments that he said to Sam, like when Rhodey was standing there, like, I just kind of felt like something nefarious was going on. And then, lo and behold, at the end of the episode, they try to bring out a new Captain America. And they took the shield from the Smithsonian to do it.
Yep.
So, like, Cap entrusted you with, like, you know, the item that he's had for forever. Obviously not the same shield, but like just the concept of the Captain America shield. And like, how did you not know that they were going to do some bullshit with it?
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, no. How did you not know?
I agree with that. We're automatically, you know, we're far away from each other, but let's high five each other.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I felt it. Great. Great high five. Oh, my hand hurts. but no, you know what, though? Let's look at it this way. You know, obviously looking at Sam's initiative to give the shield away, it was a honorary, you know, a dedication.
But he should have taken up the shield as Captain America. He should have filled Steve's shoes, so to speak.
I think he's still struggling with that, though.
I know he is. Yep. I know he is, but, like, Steve believed in him enough to pass on the mantle. So, like, why did you not respect Steve's wishes? Or hold on to it until you're freaking ready? Like, I don't know. You just, like, threw away, like, one of the most valuable items on the planet like it was yesterday's trash.
Yeah, that's like giving away Thor's hammer, you know?
Exactly.
I mean, you know? And I kind of get that, but, like, I kind of feel where, you know, he's facing some conflict of his own, you know? And I think, you know, because he's still battling that, you know, he really loved Steve. Steve was an ally to him, you know, a brother.
Yeah.
And I think that's what he's kind of holding on to, where it's like, you know what? I'd rather preserve the remembrance. I'd rather preserve, you know, his image. And I want people to see that. And I get that. But I also do think that there is something more sinister where it's like, okay, you know what? By giving it, you kind of create a vulnerability to it. Is there more to it? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, who's to say that, you know, hear me out. You guys could call me crazy on this. How do we know that this is not a tactic of Hydra? Bringing up a new gimmick where it's like, you know what? We took the shield, we put it in the hands of a new Captain America.
Because there is no Hydra anymore.
Well, how do we know that, though, for sure?
Because we know. That's all I'm going to say.
All I'm going to say is, though, you know, even though that we think that it's ridded and it's done.
You didn't see episode 2. We know. It's addressed in episode 2, and it's one of the best parts of episode 2.
Spoiler alert. Spoilers.
It's part of Bucky's therapy, so like you'll see when you watch it, but it's part of episode 2.
Well, I would think that because, like, I'm just saying that because, but his shield is made of what? Vibranium?
Yes.
Vibranium, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, this is a very collective resource that is valuable. It's sought out. It's not the easiest to obviously achieve through the Marvel series that we know of. We saw that through the movies. And I look at that, and it's kind of like, all right, I mean, wow, who's to say that they're trying to replicate something more dangerous, you know? But, yeah, I mean, I kind of look at it in this factor. I mean, I saw where Sam was going with it, and I guess where my conclusion is going to point to it, it's going to be a regret. I think it's going to be a regret where he's going to find himself in this.
Instantaneously.
Yeah.
Instantaneously.
I feel like he's going to have a regret by handing that over.
He's watching the TV. Yeah, like, you can see his face when they're watching the news report, and it looks like he got kicked right in the teeth.
Yep.
Yeah.
I handed it over for historical preference, you know? Like, I wanted people to see this, be in a museum, but now you put it in the hands of a new Captain America, you know? And that should have been Sam. That is Sam.
Yeah, and, like, I feel really bad for Wyatt Russell. He's the actor that plays said new Captain America, and he's like the hatest man, like everybody hates him, like he's the most hated man on the planet right now, which like sucks, and I feel bad because he's
there's a lot of memes going around about him,
but like I think they're gonna realize that the Captain America arc isn't gonna work, mm-hmm. and then I think he's gonna take up the mantle as US agent.
Oh, okay.
Because like, you can't just, like, shove Captain America down somebody's throats, you know?
Well, you know, that's an important thing, too. I mean, going into the next MCU projects, I mean, we got to remember that we're probably not going to see a Captain America, Chris Evans, unless it's somehow connected to the multiverse. We're probably not going to see something come about that. And, you know, to think in the modern aspect of handing over the shield and bringing out a new Captain America, which we thought would have been Sam. I think
I think there's still time for that.
You think there's still more time for that?
Yeah, because, like, here's the thing. Like, my prediction is that if Captain America, if, you know, this new Captain America doesn't work out, he's gonna, like, give the shield back to Sam, and Sam's gonna be like, all right, I'm ready for it now. So, like, I think that avenue is still open.
Okay. I like that.
But I don't know, because, like, he's kind of a dick in the series, so I don't know. That's what I hope is going to happen, but I wouldn't be surprised if it doesn't. You guys really didn't see him yet.
So it's something to watch, definitely. Mm-hmm. Okay. One other thing that I want to kind of piggyback here into this first episode, since we're on the talk of the Falcon and Winter Soldier topic, I did like a little bit more character development where it kind of went into some background for Sam. You know, we found out that he had a sister. The sister was kind of taking over the family business.
Correct.
And, you know, she was in Louisiana. It seems like Sam's family was in the shrimp, the fishing business. And that was something that the sister is holding on to such a care for, that she wants to make sure that the family business is still originated between them. It's still going. They could fix this ship up, even though that they're going through some struggles right now. And of course, here's Sam trying to offer. He's trying to do everything that he could, even trying to make the fixes, you know?
Yeah.
To the boat. That kind of got to me, because it's like, we're seeing now where, you know, Sam, outside of his superhero persona.
Yeah.
So he has a family side. Before. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So did you guys see where he goes to the bank?
Yep.
Okay. So that's what I was talking about, because, like, I wasn't sure if that was in episode 2 or not. Cause remember, I watched them back to back. So it's all.
Yeah. No, that's episode 1
movie for me.
Yep.
So they go to the bank and they get denied because Sam doesn't have any income for the past 5 years.
Right, right, right.
So, and the sister says, well, how can you have income when you disappeared and then came
back?
Yeah. So that's exactly. What makes me think that it's not 5 years after that, because Sam's back being a contract with the government, he would have income. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
So, like, the 5 years from the blip, and then if Falcon and Winter Soldier is another 5 years, Sam would have had income.
And you know what that makes?
I think this is, like, fresh after Endgame.
And that makes sense, because remember when everything occurred after the snap? Go back to the Spider-Man film, the second one, remember?
Oh, yeah. Where the kids are all, like,
the kids are, like, different like you're right. They look like full-grown adults because they're, like, They're actually outmeasured out of their band uniforms in the gym.
Yeah.
And, right, so that would actually match up to this whole five-year difference. And, I totally agree with that. I mean, where are you in 5 years that there's no income, there's no money to support? How could you give a loan to, you know, solidify that and secure it, you know?
Yes.
Yep. So there's actually that little bit of a struggle there. Yeah, I could definitely see that. But you know what, though? For how much he played it, though, I want to call him the banker, the loner, wherever you want to call him. You know, he was so stoked that Sam, he's like, he knew exactly who he was. Oh, he's like, oh, man, you're the Falcon, you know? He's like, can I get a picture with you? But even though that, you know, you're so stoked about the superhero being in the office, it's like, yeah, I can't give you a loan. It's kind of like Office Space, where it's like, well, yeah, it's like, you know, I just can't, I can't do that. And, you're gonna have to do this. Yeah, I'm sorry. You know? It kind of just reminded me of that Office Space moment, you know, in pop culture, where it's like you have Lundberg being the Debbie Downer, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I truthfully agree. I mean, do we have anything else to add to the Falcon and the Winter Soldier? I mean, The only other thing I could really think about is that, like I said, we got some great character development out of him. We got some good back history with the family. Great opener to that first episode, by the way, with him going into a new mission.
Yeah.
He's being obviously still active with the government. Yep. Anything else to add, though? Like, do we have anything to chime in on it? We point any more significances or what?
I think it's going to be something to continue to watch.
Okay. All right. Well, I think at this point it would be a good time for us to take a break. And, of course, we also call this our little waterworks. So why don't we take a little bathroom break, refresh ourselves, refill those glasses, and, hey, we will be right back.
All right, and welcome back, listeners, from our short little break there. And now is the moment that I personally have been waiting for since we started this podcast. We have been hyping the Snyder Cut since day one. There has been so much talk and just anticipation for this movie, and it is finally here. And I was very, very excited to watch this week.
Okay. As was I.
So, any, like, spoilers, if you guys haven't seen it, shut this off now and do yourselves a favor and just watch it, because I was talking to one of our friends, Mike, actually, and he's like, I hated Justice League, so I don't think I want to dedicate 4 hours to watching it. And, like, so here's my opinion right off the bat.
Okay.
I see, you know, where people wouldn't have the faith in Snyder, just because, like, we've talked about this before. So, like, I liked Man of Steel. I did not like Batman versus Superman, and I did not like the extended cut of Batman versus Superman. I have voiced that opinion on the show before, but I'm going to say this. Justice League Snyder Cut was incredible. And I will even go so far as to say that the Ben Affleck Batman that we got in the Snyder Cut, I approve of. I will even go that far to say that I enjoyed watching him as Batman in this cut of the film.
All right. Me and you are going to start butting some heads here.
Which is fine. And, like, that's okay.
Yep. Go ahead.
Compare his performance. So, like, just like, you know, like Batfleck's performance between Snyder Cut and theatrical, it's worlds different.
Okay.
Worlds different. Like, in the Snyder Cut, I feel like he's more of a traditional, concerned, you know, cautious Bruce Wayne. And in the theatrical, like, he tried to, like, make jokes. Like, it was just awkward, and I hated it.
Okay.
So, like, right off the bat, guys, there are two different formats that you can watch for the Snyder Cut. There's the Snyder Cut, and then there's the black and white Snyder Cut. So, like, and I haven't seen the black and white cut yet, but I will eventually watch it.
And by the way, I actually did not know about this. I did not know that there was a black and white alternative to it.
I think it was just released yesterday.
Oh, okay.
So, because, like, especially, like, in some of the sequences that, like, just mean, like, so much to me, I think it would be very beneficial to see them in black and white. So, I am going to watch, like, the black and white cut eventually. But, like, right off the bat, so, like, when you're, like, a director and, like, you're editing your film and stuff like that, like, you can choose, like, a color palette. So, like, as many of you know, like, you can take a picture and, like, do the filters on it. So, like, right off the bat, the differences between theatrical and Snyder Cut is the color palette right off the bat.
Okay.
And then also the aspect in which the movie was shot in, like, your traditional 16:9 aspect ratio.
Yeah.
Snyder did his in the 4:3, which, like, I don't know if everybody here remembers. I'm going to show my age here. Do you remember when, like, full screen DVDs used to be a thing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, this reminds me of, like, a full screen DVD.
Yeah, because if you remember going back to DVD format, remember where it was widescreen and then you'd have the two black bars on the side?
Yeah, so, like, that's what the Snyder Cut is in.
Yep.
So, there's that. Which, like, I don't know, it didn't bother me to watch it in the 4:3 ratio. I didn't even... The bars didn't bother me. And, like, the second thing, right off the bat, is there's two different openings.
Okay.
Which I feel like is a critical point to start with. Because in the theatrical version of the Justice League, the first thing we see is Henry Cavill's CGI'd mustache face. Like, right there, that sets the tone for the rest of the movie.
Yep.
The CGI mustache. Mustache gate. Isn't that what they were calling it?
Yep. Mustache. Yeah. Yep.
So, whereas in the Snyder Cut, it starts back from when, like, you know, we get a flashback of, like, when Superman died and, like, he was fighting and, like, his yell, essentially, when he yells while he's dying, that's what wakes up the mother boxes.
Yes. Yep.
In the film. Which, like, I feel like wasn't really talked about in the theatrical version. Was it?
No. Okay. I don't think so. No, I don't think it was. Absolutely.
So, and also, so for people that don't really know DC, like, as well as they know Marvel, like, I would be, like, one of these people. So, like, I had to do a little bit of, like, research to, like, look at some of the stuff. Because I didn't know what, like, the mother boxes were when Justice League came out. I'm like, what is this? Like, some sort of, like, alien, like, you know, Jack in the Box or something?
Yep.
So, you will see that the Justice League in the Snyder Cut pretty much introduces Darkseid. I don't want to say, like, right off the bat, but it's pretty upfront. That Steppenwolf is a messenger or a servant of Darkseid.
Yes.
Darkseid wasn't even mentioned in the theatrical version.
Yeah. No, you're right.
That is such a fail.
I do too. I mean, I want to go back to something. I'm going to kind of lessen our heads butting because of you mentioning these details. It kind of helps now because now it just kind of makes it a little bit more conservative and more communicative. But I definitely agree with this because there was no mentionings of it. And that's where I kind of feel like, were you holding back on mentioning Darkseid? Like, why didn't you want to push that more forward in the beginning? Because obviously it seemed that there was a bigger threat. Like, this goes back to, like, even if we compare it to the Marvel aspects where we had Thanos.
How many times did we see, you know, Thanos before Endgame and Infinity? Well, like, you know what I mean?
Right. We've gotten more drops of Thanos in MCU than we did of Darkseid in the DC films. You know?
And, like, I feel like this is kind of, like, controversial maybe. But, like, I feel like Darkseid and the anti-life equation is, like, the DC version of the Infinity Gauntlet and Thanos, yes?
Yes. Can we safely
say that, like, it's a big movement, you know what I mean? So, like,
right.
For you to not give the building blocks is just a complete waste for me.
Well, no, I love that you mentioned that, because the mother boxes, to me, that was the comparison where it's like, okay, if we go back to those MCU movies, you know, and we're talking about, okay, if we go to Infinity Gauntlet, we go to Endgame, we're talking about Infinity Stones. Infinity Stones are so pivotal and critical to this gauntlet, right? And that's what's needed for the villain to be powered and get into the next phase. Well, the mother boxes in this comparison are the Infinity Stones, you know? Yeah. But, you know, I mean, I want you to keep going because you're onto something here. And before I give my little spiel about it, I just definitely want you to keep going. I mean, I think you got something going.
I've got like 50 points to talk about. Like, I'm going to try and condense it as much as I can. But like, I've got like a lot of like differences in where the Snyder Cut did things correctly versus the theatrical version, how it was a failure.
Okay. And this is what we want to hear.
So like immediately, like Steppenwolf looks completely different. What they were thinking, like, if you saw Snyder's vision of Steppenwolf, why would you ever want to change that? Like, I don't understand. Because, like, he's, like, this cool alien in his, like, cool, like, transformative suit. And then, like, you get the theatrical version. It's, like, this guy looks like a wuss, you know? Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like that the Snyder Cut did Steppenwolf right. He's kind of scary looking, and versus like, oh, he's just a dude with a hat. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
I don't know. So I liked his appearance better. I thought he was more of like a threatening character. Like, he seemed like taller and wider and just like, you know, like a big commanding presence versus like, oh, I'm a dude with an axe.
Can I chime in here real quick? Because I want to get Zach's opinion on this, too. Let's go back to the Thor movie. The first Thor movie.
Okay.
If we go back to that, and we see where Thor is trying to recover his powers, okay?
Yes.
Obviously, Thor comes back to life. You know, he's restored. And that main villain that is destroying the town, he looks like he's in that real...
The Destroyer.
Like, holographic... Yeah, the
Destroyer.
The Destroyer, right?
Yeah.
That holographic form. I found that was comparable. Like, that form. Like, that type of character, right?
Yeah.
This was sent in to do the damage... And that's exactly what Steppenwolf is. And it even kind of reminded me of that, because the way his armor is and how it's so spiked and shiny and so holographic.
There's definitely, like, more details in his armor, but, like, yeah. He's the messenger. You know? He's the bringer of bad news, if you will.
Right. And, of course, I mean, in comparison, Thor is able to destroy it. But I want to go back into this whole thing here with the Snyder Cut. I mean... I like how they portrayed the Steppenwolf character. I think it was.
In the Snyder Cut version, he didn't call the Mother Box's mother, which kind of just like creeped me out. I was like, it's not your mother. Like, what are you doing?
Yep.
So I thought that was really weird in the theatrical cut.
Yep.
So I think that was one thing they also got right. Like, he's just more of a menace. If you will.
I really love how they portrayed him going back to, like, Wonder Woman. You know, the Amazonians.
See, I love how they had a bigger fight. And, like, you see, like, the temple. Yes. I don't know what to call it. And it, like, goes over the cliff. And
the struggle.
Anytime you want to give Hippolyta and the Amazons more screen time, I am for it. I love to see their fighting style and just the way that they take care of business. It's I like to see that. So I think, you know,
I loved it.
Me too. Like, I can understand why, like, you know, maybe like some of it was like cut out to condense it, because in reality, if Snyder was able to finish the movie the first time, we would not have gotten 4 hours. We wouldn't have.
Right.
So, like, would that have made the final cut? I don't know. But I'm all for anything from Themyscira. It's like, parts of, like, you know, favorite parts of the movie for me.
I think if, truthfully, we had the original Justice League movie, it would have been, you know, your three-hour type movie where it's, like, almost like a Marvel, you know? Mm-hmm. And I just, that's where it comes into comparison. Like, I feel like that first Justice League movie was so rushed. It was so fast-paced, and it was just getting to, okay, yep, this and that and this and that. But there was no development. There was no behind the aspects of everything, you know?
Well, so here's the thing. So they shot most of it, and then Zack Snyder's daughter died. So he had to walk away from it. Like, I completely understand that. So then, like, you know, it
took
time to find, you know, somebody else to come in and finish it up. But then they have, like, a different vision. And so, like, I can see why it was, like, delayed and everything. So, like, I'm not mad about that. But, like, I just...
Right.
You know, I'm so happy that we were able to see it. And, like, now the fans are, like, in an uproar. So we can try and see if we can get Snyder his final two films for it. Because he had, like, a 5-arc film series plan. So it was Man of Steel, Batman vs. Superman, Justice League 1, 2, and 3.
Yep. Yep.
So we'll have to see if we get those. But, like, also going back to, I guess, like, the basics and, like, the mother boxes, where, like, we saw Diana, like, go underground into, like, a tomb or something. And, like, all of the information is on the wall. So, like, all we see in the theatrical cut is, like, she shows up to Bruce's and, you know, she just knows all about it.
Yep.
So, like, she's... I thought they should have kept that in for sure.
Yeah, she's the informative at this point. I mean, she's your informative resource. Like, yes. She knows more about these boxes than anybody. And really, the second person that would come close to this is Aquaman, you know?
But remember, like, Arthur's not Aquaman yet. Like, he is.
Right.
He hasn't, you know, defeated King Orm and all that stuff yet. But, like, here's one thing, though. What I like in Snyder Cuts, I like the Atlanteans' outfits better in Justice League than I do in Aquaman.
Oh, okay.
Because, like, I feel like they're actual, like, armored suits versus, like, you know, like, a wetsuit that you put on, like, that we got in Aquaman. I don't know. I just like the battle style of their suits better in the Snyder Cut than Aquaman. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, I like the development, though. I mean, you know, from, like I said, that Amazonian scene where we had that real chase scene of where, take the box, keep going forward, keep it safe.
Keep it moving.
And even through the most tedious times and the most, climatic moments, it was obviously conquered, you know? And, you know, compared, if we go back to looking at that Justice League movie, the first one that was put out, where we compare now that version, mm-hmm. Right, the theatrical one. I mean, this one totally hit the park, and I was like, yeah, I can see this. Like, this is what should have happened, you know? Mm-hmm. And then going forward with all the other events, going back over into, you know, the Aquaman part where, you know, they were trying to defend their mother box. It was the same aspect. I mean, they just couldn't defend it. It was just too powerful, you know? But I think, really, I mean, the most interesting part was that Cyborg holding onto a mother box. It was, you know, this was the most defined. This was the most secure, like trying to do everything in your power to, you know, try and keep this away from whatever vulnerability or whatever attack could come forward to it.
Yeah, so he was made from the mother box.
And I think Cyborg actually played a huge part in this movie, which if we look back at the theatrical Justice League movie.
Not so much.
We didn't get that. And that's what I love about this Snyder Cut, is that we got a lot more out of Cyborg. Really, we did. You know?
Yes, we did.
And, you know, it's awesome. I want to go, and I want to piggyback on something here about with Batman that you said about the Ben Affleck thing. I agree with you. I mean, I think we got more development, more definition on the Batman role of Ben Affleck's Batman. I'm not going to say that I defend him and say, like, this is the top tier Batman vote, because I will always defend, and I will always say that Michael Keaton is my Batman, you know?
Right. But, like, I hated Batfleck, and I've said that multiple times on the podcast, but this movie changed my mind. I don't hate him in this film.
I don't hate him in this film. Right.
I don't either.
Yep.
I don't either.
And, like, there's just so much that this film gets right. Like, we also see, like, a second bad guy. Like, they introduced Desaad.
Yeah, yeah.
Who works for Darkseid. So, like, works right there, Darkseid. We get, yep. like, three baddies, you know?
Yep.
And, like, in the Snyder Cut, it was Darkseid who comes, you know, and invades Earth once. And that's why he didn't invade Earth a second time. That's why he sent Steppenwolf, because he was defeated the first time. But, like, yep. in the theatrical version, it was Steppenwolf, and he was defeated, and he came back like a dum-dum.
Yep.
So, which, like, they're looking for the anti-life equation. And for people that don't know what that is, it essentially, you know, once you find this anti-life equation, it renders that planet essentially, like, useless. You get to be, like, the supreme ruler, and, like, your life is technically, like, not your own anymore. You have right. to, like, do what this guy says. Just, like, in an instant, like, you have to do what he says.
Yep.
So, like, we'll talk about coming up, like, that towards the end, because there's, like, you know, the famed nightmare sequence, which made it to the film.
Yes.
But, like, yes. one of the biggest changes besides, like, you know, you get backstories on Cyborg, you know, Victor Stone, and Barry Allen, who's the Flash.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you get to see them in their, like, normal lives and, like, how they became heroes. And, like, I really liked those sequences.
We just lost Jen. Because we
haven't seen them in the films yet before. You know, these were the first times that they were being mentioned, and I felt like that should have made it. And like you said, like, Cyborg, because he's, you know, technology and human, it's like almost kind of like where he's like kind of like Iron Man, but like not, I guess. But I don't know, he had a really, you know, a much bigger role, which I liked.
Excuse us for one bit. We're just experiencing some technical difficulties. We'll be right back.
Okay, and one of the cooler things I thought about Cyborg is how we got to see his, you know, his, like, football backstory and, like, a little bit about him before, you know, his accident and his mom died, which I thought was really cool. And I also really like that, because we know that he can manipulate any sort of technology, but what I thought was really cool in this cut is how he helps out that mom
yeah. with,
like, the bank numbers and the ATM.
Yeah, it was very awesome.
I thought that was nice. Yeah, so I like, you know, the whole Cyborg dynamic that we got with the Snyder Cut. There's so many, you know, better aspects and things that I honestly don't think I want to know what Joss Whedon was thinking and saying, oh, we should cut all this stuff out, because it literally makes no sense to me. Like, I know that we would never have gotten a 4-hour film in theaters, but
not with Joss Whedon.
No, but even, like, if Snyder was able to finish the movie, like, we wouldn't have, like, you know, gotten the 4 hours yeah. that we did
yeah.
on HBO Max. But
I mean, I think it would have been, I think if it originally was put in the right hands, we definitely would have got maybe a part one and a part two. But I just think for that, you know, if you go back and you look at how Marvel came out with the Infinity Gauntlet, Infinity War, and then Endgame, they broke it into two parts. Why couldn't they yeah. take notes and do what Marvel did, you know?
Right.
I mean, at least that right there could have coped up with everything that you had for the 4 hours. And I just really think that rush came to rush. You had Joss Whedon, and that was the one that made the decision to say, well, yeah, no, we really don't need this. Yeah, we really don't need this. And then, voila, here comes shoots. One movie.
Yeah.
You know?
And, like, some other, like, points were, like, I liked when they, you know, in the theatrical cut, when they were deciding to bring back Superman.
Yeah.
It was just like an argument between Bruce yeah. and Diana.
Yes.
In the Snyder Cut, it was the whole team coming together to have a discussion, and then they decide to bring Superman back because he's the only one strong enough to, like, defeat and go up against Steppenwolf. Not because they need a leader and nobody wants to step up. Like, that was so stupid. I hated that. I hated that so much.
Yeah, I mean, I do like how it was better organized in that aspect, you know, and like you said, that really came to, that came to terms, like, with real Justice League action, yes. Like, action plan, like, here comes the heroes, they go to a room, and they all make that decision, you know?
Yeah, like...
Not the easiest decision, no, by the way.
Definitely not.
No, definitely not, and, like, one of the misses that, like, you know, we just got a glimpse of, so I'm sure he would have played a bigger role in, like, Justice League 2 and 3, which hopefully we get. I'm still, you know, hoping that we still get it.
I think we'll
but
get
we
one.
We have to see Martian Manhunter. Well, the CEO of HBO Max mm-hmm. and Warner Brother, like, they already said no, but the fans are so persistent, so I really hope it turns it around. But we got Martian Manhunter, who is a critical part of the Justice League. So that was cool. And he was not in the theatrical cut at all whatsoever. So there's also a lot more of, I guess, I don't even want to call them like glimpses of what's yet to come, but like throughout the movie, like you get to see all these like visions, like where I'm assuming, you know, that's where the anti-life equation is going to come back into play in, like, a later film. And, like, essentially, like, Aquaman and Diana are dead. So that's
yeah.
going to be interesting to see if they do happen to move forward with that.
Yeah, no, that was pretty cool. I like how they did incorporate that into the movie. Hang on just one second. I'm just trying to put that over there. Sorry about that. But no, I like how they incorporated that. But did anybody catch in the beginning, like, I want to go back to characters here because of, like, Justice League, you know, I did like that they did indicate that Green Lantern, I'm sorry if I butcher this in any way or I disrespect the DC comic fans for this, I apologize. I don't know the technical term to the Green Lantern people. Who they are. But if you look back at that scene where it was like, it kind of looked like the mythology battle, the first battle where Steppenwolf was there and Darkseid, you actually did catch a glimpse of a Green Lantern type person fighting the battle with the other old homage of Justice League characters.
Which, in interviews, Zack Snyder said that he fought so hard to mm-hmm. get, like, the Jon Stewart Green Lantern, which, if you're a fan of, you know, the cartoons and the comics,
yeah.
was, you know, a staple of the Justice League. And he apparently got, like, he fought so hard to have, you know, Jon as a part of mm-hmm. this film, but Warner Brothers nixed it.
Well, you know, I think that's an important part. I mean, they had to incorporate some symbolism there, because that's an original member of the Justice League.
Correct.
You know?
Yes.
And I felt like if we didn't have... I knew we weren't going to get a Ryan Reynolds back in a Green Lantern. I knew we weren't going to get...
No.
You know? But I like that they did actually pay tribute, you know, and gave us the hint that, wow, you know, that was actually there in the beginning of mm-hmm. this big battle for the boxes. And, yeah, at least we got to see it there. Thank God.
Yeah, there's still, like, you know, a ton of stuff that I feel like they did right. Like, you know, Cyborg's father's, like, sacrifice
yeah.
to try and, you know, save. Like, that was so yeah. heavy, and, like, that didn't make the theatrical cut. And then, you know, at the end of the film when he's reading the note, and I don't know, that was just a big thing for me that I can't believe that they took out of it.
Yeah.
And, like, even, like, you know, Superman's resurrection was a little different. Like, you know, the fight on the stones,
right?
Like when he goes after Batman and then Lois shows up, that was completely different. And so was, like, when they get to the farm with Martha and Lois.
Yeah, I like that they spent, like, a little more time there.
Me too. And, like, I just feel like there was just so much more, like, just so much more togetherness.
It made sense.
Of everything.
It made sense.
Yeah. And, like, you know, there's, like, planning scenes where, like, you see them, like, you know, analyzing the fortress.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. There's so much more that, you know, had the thought put into it. Like, Superman goes to the Fortress of Solitude. So, like, we get to see that again. And mm-hmm. then, like, you get to see all the different suits and what he chooses. And it's finally, we get to see the black Superman suit.
Right. Well, so I think it comes down to two things. Like, and I'm sure you guys probably would agree with me on this. Maybe we'll see what happens. But how you just said about, you know, everything came together, it made more sense. I think that was because of what we had in this movie. You got two things: character development and story development. Not now. I mean, people would probably say, "Well, isn't that the same thing?" No, because we focused on the characters. We actually did zone in on important parts, significances, and then through those character identification parts, that was where the story started piecing together. So once we saw Cyborg come in, we got his part of it, and then we got the Flash, we got his part of it. Right. Yep. Everything came together. So there's two components there. Character development first, and then story development.
And, like, honestly, like, personally, I think that the action was a lot better in this. Like, everything was, like, bloody and just raw.
The gore,
and
that's, like, the gore was so much better.
So.
Well, it made more sense, right? Like, it actually, like, and, you know, kudos to that, because, like, a DC Comics movie, I would think that's a little bit more darker than the Marvel movies. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm not saying that to say, like, wow, they are DC Comics movies, they're so much better because of that entity. No, but, like, I mean, if we watch DC films, it does have a little more edgier look to it. It does have a little bit more of a, I don't want to say realistic, but, like, it's got a little bit more edge to it, you know, rather than watch something that Marvel comes out with.
I absolutely agree.
I don't know. That's just my way.
And, like, I feel like the biggest thing for me, like, the biggest hurrah of the whole film that they changed for the theatrical version was the Flash's arc at the end where he literally saves the entire world.
Yes. Yes.
And in the theatrical cut, we get him saving a family of four in a truck.
In a pickup truck. Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
literally pushing it like it was a shopping cart.
Yes. Like, to, I don't even want to say, like, dumb it down, but just to water it down to that. Like,
yeah.
I don't understand how you could take something that was amazing and great. Like, I feel like that whole ending fight scene togetherness was just perfection.
Well,
and I don't I will never understand.
I could.
What they did and why.
I could understand it.
You can understand why they did what they did?
Yes, two words. Josh Whedon.
Well, he's an ass.
No, but you know what, though? Honestly, it's, like, you compare it now to, like, putting it in the hands of a different director and a different person putting the film together. It obviously shows the quality. I'm sorry, that's what it came down to. I mean, you look back at Whedon's Justice League, I write it completely off, and now I'm going to forget all about it. I don't even care about it.
Yes.
No. I don't even care about
it. Like, some other, like, cool things that we got were, like, obviously, Alfred. We get to see Alfred have a lot more of, like, screen time
with,
you know, the other members of the Justice League, like, not just with Batman, which was cool to see.
Yep.
And, like, I just feel like the graphics were better as a whole. Like, the Unity, which is when the mother boxes combine, like, in the theatrical version, it looks like it's, like, a ball of, like, tinfoil crumbled up.
Uh-huh.
And then in the Snyder Cut, it's, like, that complex cube guy with dimensions. I don't know. I just thought it looked so much better.
I think at the end of the day, how I felt about watching this, and this was literally my reaction, I can't believe we didn't get this version first, you know?
Well, I understand why he had to step away. I do.
I do too.
But, like, if he had this much of it complete and, like, filmed, like, I just don't understand how you could come in and just literally, like, explode it all.
Right. Yep.
Like, and I've said it before, like, the whole, like, ending, like, you know, the theatrical release when Superman and Cyborg are separating the boxes, like, it was just so well done, and, like, they gave Superman, like, awesome lines, like, our episode title tonight is Not Impressed.
Yeah.
Like, that was, I don't know, that was powerful, but not stupid. Like, what did he say, something about, like, I'm a fan of justice or something like that in the theatrical version. Like, it was just, like, a lot of his dialogue, like, fell flat for me.
Right.
Especially, like, because I couldn't take him seriously with the stupid, like, CGI mustache, you know? Like, I just...
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Totally agree.
A lot of that is, like, awful. And, like, I really also, you know, we've talked about Cyborg, and, you know, he has he has a big role in the ending too. Like, we get to see him like interact with, you know, the boxes, like when he's like inside the vision, and you know, he's just like, well, I'm not broken, so like,
that's right,
screw you guys, you know. Like, I was very impressed with his character development over the whole arc.
Yeah, because I like, no, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
No, because, you know, I kind of like that they touch base on that. We got so much more out of Cyborg because this is a character, yeah, that we have not gotten out of the other DC films. Like, if you go back to Wonder Woman and stuff like that, great film. But we've already kind of got that. Like, we already know the expectations of Wonder Woman. Not that we're omitting her or limiting her of any talk on here, because we're not. I mean, she was a star in that film just alone. I mean, I think that they gave her so much more involvement. And even Batman, I this goes back to what we just said. Like, I actually gained a little bit more respect out of Ben Affleck's Batman. For Batfleck, you know?
Yeah. And, like, everybody knows that I have confessed my love for, like, the Teen Titans, and Cyborg is a part of that team, so.
Oh, sure, yeah.
You know, like, that's hitting home for me. Yep. But, like one of the greatest gore moments for me is Steppenwolf's death.
Yes.
And, like, I just think it's so stupid that they, like, changed it to, like, instead of Wonder Woman chopping off his head, she, like, breaks his axe. Like, I don't know. I really just don't know.
Again, another Josh Whedon element there.
Yeah, like, I just don't, I don't know. Like, you take something, like, now that we've seen it, like, you've taken something so great and you've just, like, mutilated it to the point of terribleness.
Yes. Yeah.
So,
I mean, other than that, though, I mean, do you have any more to add to it, Jen? I mean, any more notes?
Yeah, like the final voiceover that we got was Victor's father,
mm-hmm,
like, you know, with the tape, like the voice message note thing.
Yep.
Like that like really hit home, and we got to see the nightmare sequence.
Yes.
You know, like, when we saw it in the theatrical version, and it was just, like, to me, it didn't belong.
Like, you're talking about the nightmare sequence where Bruce was there. Like the
apocalypse world.
Yeah, right. And it was just so, again, another so quick moment in the previous film. This one kind of made more sense, you know?
Right, and, like, I don't think it belonged in the theatrical cut. And I'm like, well, this makes, like, no sense. You're just, like, killing dudes. Like, who cares? You know yeah. what I mean? And, like, this, like, you get to see, like, who's left, what has happened, and, like, we know that Darkseid comes for the anti-life equation, and Superman is, you know, under his control, and he's back in the blue and red suit, so, but, like, you get to see Batman join forces with Deathstroke, which Joe Mangiello from he was in True Blood, like, he's a fantastic actor.
Yeah.
And I remember when they said he was gonna play Deathstroke, I was like, I can't wait for it. And then we got that, like, little scene with Lex Luthor, and I'm like, this is stupid, like,
yeah,
you know, the theatrical cut. And then, like, Superman and Flash have a race around the world, like, come on. Like, this was so much better. And, like, I know that Snyder really, really, really wanted to introduce, like, the Joker again.
Yeah.
So, the Joker is part of Team Apocalypse, which I thought was quite interesting.
Well, I mean, you're always, I'm sorry, that's one character you'll never break out of, you know, a sequence. And, you know, you even saw that in Suicide Squad, you know, mm-hmm, as much as I hated that movie, you know, you still never, you're never going to break the Joker out of a villain role. You will never break him out.
And, like, you know, like, in their dialogue, like, we learn so much. Like, Harley Quinn is dead.
Yep.
Robin is dead because the Joker killed him.
Yep.
Lois Lane is dead.
Lois
because
is
of
dead.
Batman.
Yep.
He also blames Batman for, like, this entire situation that we're in. And apparently they need multiple timelines to fix it.
Yep.
So hopefully, you know, then, you know, Superman comes and finds them, and we find out that he's a bad guy.
Yep.
So, but, like, I don't know. Like, I did not like the Joker when we saw him in Suicide Squad with, like,
yeah,
you know, that version of him. But, like, this Joker, I could, you know, watch that without, negativity for this moment.
If they,
it's not instant hate like it used to be.
Definitely. If they keep on track with what they're doing there, I will definitely say, okay, maybe there's room to respect Jared Leto's Joker. But I will I will tell you this right now. He still is on my shit list of Joker decisions.
Of course.
And, I mean, let's listen. It's a hard role to play. You know, and people even speculated this. If you go back into the Christian Bale Batman films done by Christopher Nolan, you know, when we had that Joker, that was a phenom performance from Heath Ledger. And everybody wrote that off originally when they said, oh, Heath Ledger's playing the Joker. I remember so many people bashing that role. Well, that was the same thing about Jared Leto playing Joker in this one. It was bash where it's like, oh, come on, you got to be kidding me. But people kind of kept to that moment saying, well, wait, you know, it could be another Heath Ledger moment where, you know, look how good he did. You know, he went from good to great in that film.
Yeah, like,
you know,
this is literally like a 2-minute sequence, you know, so.
Yeah, I think they make the Joker darker in this sequence. You know, you go back to that Suicide Squad and the previous moments that we saw him. It was not comical, but it was just, it was corny. Like, I kind of got the sense where it was like, what are we doing here? But keep in mind, the only thing I want to kind of give kudos to is, even in that moment, you know, where you had villains coming together to try and help out a situation. I'm calling them the anti-heroes, you know?
Of course, yes.
And, but Joker never broke character. Joker never broke the villain role. And again, that's just one villain on film you will never, ever see break the villain role.
No, so it's, like, kind of a shock to see, like, Deathstroke, the Joker, and Batman working together. But, like, literally, it's just, you know...
Well, is the Joker there to manipulate, though?
Probably. I don't think so. Like, I think he knows that if he doesn't stick with them, then he's gonna die. So he has no other options but to help and try and get the world back to what it is.
But you know what?
Like, what it was.
I don't know. I see. I think it's a situation where it's like, what do I have to lose? You know,
I don't disagree with that.
I don't
just think, you know, he's got no other options, you know.
I did like the fact that Batfleck, you know, he he had to drop that line going up to him, telling him that I'm gonna fucking kill you. you know, but I'll tell you what, that actually comes from a comic series. In the DC, actually, it might not be a comic series. It might actually be a graphic novel of the later on aftermath of the Batman Superman stuff. And there is a cartoon that you could go back out to where Batman kills the Joker. I think it's like in a tunnel of love, or it's in a funhouse. But what happens is that the Joker gets re-released and he goes on a killing rampage. And Batman, here's one that's like, you know, he was waiting for this moment. And in that graphic novel, he snaps the neck of the Joker. Literally, right. I mean, kills him with force. Like, that's it. Like, he snapped, you know?
I laughed when the Joker called Mira fish stick.
Yeah, fish stick.
Fish stick. So, I don't know. I also like to see, like, that side of her, too, as, like, a warrior. So I feel like that was kind of, like... a wee bit of a miss in the Aquaman film, because I feel like she has a lot more, you know, to give to the role. So,
well, right. I think that's another character that people would, you know, if there's going to be more continuation, we want to see more of it, you know?
Yeah. And then, like, speaking of continuation, like, Martian Manhunter shows up at the very end.
Very end.
You know, the last scene.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, he says, like, they need to find the anti-life equation before Darkseid does and comes back. So, like, I'm really, really, really hoping that we get at least a 2, if not a 3. Like, you know, the powers that be, you know, help us out here and...
Yeah. Well, this is an endgame. This is an endgame situation for the Justice League. You know?
Yeah,
I mean, instead of finding stones... Well, right, it could be. Instead of finding stones, I mean, they have got to find this equation.
Yes. And, like, I just... I don't know. I would watch it. I would go to the theater and pay money to watch a 2 and a 3, even if they, you know, just don't release it for, like, HBO Max or whatever. But, like, I know that it was competing with, like, the new Wonder Woman for the top spot for an HBO Max release. And then, you know, Godzilla versus Kong comes out like this weekend.
Well, I mean, so far as of right now,
blown it out of the water.
Yeah, as of right now, I mean, Snyder Cut's Justice League is top notch on HBO Max.
Yes, it is.
I mean,
I think for just a couple another days though, because
yeah,
on Wednesday when we get Godzilla versus Kong, I feel like it's going to get dethroned just because there's something new to watch.
Well, that too. I think people have been anticipating it because, you know, you actually have two big projects coming up. You have that in the month of at the end of March here, obviously, mm-hmm. Godzilla and Kong. And then in April, I mean, people are literally eating up Mortal Kombat. I mean, Mortal Kombat is getting some really big stream out there on social media. And even for me, I mean, I'm stoked because last films of Mortal Kombat, you're going back to like 95 and 97 when they had Mortal Kombat, the film. And if I'm not mistaken, I think that was actually a TV movie at that time. Because I remember actually seeing it on TNT.
Excuse us for one bit. We're just experiencing some technical difficulties. We'll be right back.
All right, sorry about that. We had some technical difficulties there. Oh, God damn it.
Yeah, we've been trying to finish this podcast for like 3 days now.
I know, this is getting like fucking irritating already, you know?
Oh, that's one for charity, man.
Well, it was worth it.
Yeah, we're at like four.
Is it episode, four?
So it's fun.
So yeah. What are we at right now? Would that be 20 altogether?
I don't know.
We got to be at 20 or 21 right now. Okay.
Yeah, I think we're at 20.
Yeah, so Matt's power went out. No, you lost internet the first night where we got the bulk of it down. And then last night we started back up trying to wrap things up. And you lost power because the transformer blew because somebody hit a pole.
Some automobile fuckery right out there.
Your backyard. Yep, there's another one.
21.
And,
21.
So we're just getting ready to wrap things up here, guys. Thanks for sticking with us through our technical difficulties. And I guess just to recap, you know, continue watching Winter Soldier. Yep. Definitely make time to watch the Snyder Cut of the Justice League because it's fantastic. And, like, I don't know if some of you out there were waiting, you know, waiting for us to give our opinions or our commentary, if you will, but I definitely think it's something that should be seen. And if we all stand together and gang up on WB, we might be able to get Justice League 2 and 3 out of the deal.
I think it's quite possible. But, you know, I think...
I really hope so.
I really think that this is positive vibes. And, you know, I think I want everybody to kind of leave this podcast tonight or whenever you're listening to it towards the end here. Leave this podcast knowing that you are going to watch something so much more special, so much more better quality than the first Justice League movie that was put out. And I know I'm a broken record because I already said it somewhere down the past 2 days here recording this goddamn episode. But I'm going to say it again. You will, it'll blow your mind, okay? It will blow your mind.
Yeah, so I feel like, and if we keep, you know, keep up with the Twitter trends mm-hmm. and restore the Snyderverse is the new tweet that we got to be going after.
Yeah.
So let's see if we can, you know, convince WB to give us the final two installments of the Snyderverse because that would be ideal.
Yep. And speaking of...
I don't know, I think I'm going to give
I was going to say, speaking of tweets, we had a tweet... I don't know if it was last week or the week before, and I'm pretty sure it was by Jerry Retro Gamer 1211. you know, I mean, I understand. We appreciate your comments out there, and you know what? We'll try and gear up some more content and make it more entertaining. I mean, the topics that we're obviously targeting week by week by week is what's pretty prevalent in the news. It's keeping reference to the pop culture vibes, but you know, we're making some changes. So Jerry, if it is, I'm assuming it is Jerry. Don't worry, man. We got this. Okay.
Well, on that note,
sorry.
Sneak peek for next week, guys. We're gonna be doing a full workup on Godzilla versus Kong.
Yep.
Matt and I are super excited for that one. Zach, not so much, but that's okay.
Jen, remember we were talking about this though? Remember, like when.
Oh, way back in like May
or June. Like, I mean, we the minute the first trailer went down, like, I mean, it was given to us, like, and that was like, when we say the first trailer was given to us, we're talking the teaser. So yeah. Once that was released to us, we were like on top of this, like, yo, like every minute of it. And then, of course, obviously, when the recent ones came out, my God, fantastic, you know?
Yep, so I'm really excited. I think it's going to be awesome. One of my favorite humans is in it, Alexander Skarsgård. Oh. So I have really high hopes for
me
this
too.
One. And I saw like a meme somewhere saying that like you can tell how bad a movie's going to be by the number of helicopters in the trailer. Did you ever see that meme?
No.
No, I saw that, and I just thought it was, like, quite funny, because if you remember Skull Island, that's, like, all the trailer was, like, the helicopter footage.
Helicopter, yeah.
And there's a lot of people out there that didn't like that one.
You know what? I'm going to make a bold prediction here, and I'm going to say it here on Garlic Jar, okay?
Okay.
Hear me out on this, and maybe you'll agree with me, Jenna, maybe not. I think that this, and I know it's kind of early to say because we're only in March of 2021, I believe this is going to be the blockbuster of 2021. I feel like, even though that obviously it's in HBO Max, there's so much subscription to it.
Well,
go ahead.
So remember,
go ahead.
Like, worldwide already, it's kicked the snot out of Wonder Woman already for the box office.
Yes, and I even said, and
like Wonder Woman 1984.
And I'm not even taking that. Like, I'm not even taking that data and comparing it now. I literally, and Tom, if you're listening to this episode, You will vouch for this, because I have said this to you back around Christmas time. And I even said, this is going to be the blockbuster of 2021. This will be the number one rated movie of 2021.
I think it's going to be good. I hope it's going to be good.
So there's the bold prediction on Garlic Jar. You heard me say it right here.
Yeah, so if you guys want to tune in next week, that's one of the heavy hitter topics that we'll be discussing. Yeah. And does anybody have any last minute news to get off their chest before we sign out?
No, I mean, I think we have some pretty interesting topics coming up next week, and we're not going to show and tell or sneak peek them. So you're just going to have to catch us next week.
Awesome. Zach, any final notes, sir?
Nope.
All right, lads.
I'm good.
This is a Garlic Jar Podcast Show signing off, and we'll talk to everybody next week.